The title of this sermon is Body for God. Body for God, as you can see on your cover of your worship guide. This is just a single message. Next week, we're going to get back into the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to pick up with our verse-by-verse study through that. But we're going to talk about today. I'm going to use all of my persuasive powers, that is, to convince you to maintain a healthy body. To maintain a healthy body. I want that to become a priority in your life. Now, the reason why that's a challenge is because there's no explicit command in the Bible that says, Christian, you need to maintain a healthy body. And as a result, though, many Christians take that to mean, well, God must not care about that. That must not be important to God. And so that's why it's a little important for us to talk about it. Now, let me tell you why the Bible doesn't explicitly mention it. It's because when the Bible was written thousands of years ago, it was a non-issue. It wasn't relevant for the Bible to tell people back then, maintain a healthy body. That wouldn't have been something that was important to communicate to people back then. Back then, people lived very healthy, active lifestyles, unlike today. For example, the diet of the average person back then was very, very healthy compared to the way we eat today. In a book called The New Testament, Its Background and Message, Thomas Leah and David Black write the following about the diet of people back then. They say, the daily diet for the average Palestinian of the New Testament times probably consisted of vegetables, fruit, and bread. Those are the three things that you try to avoid. Vegetables, fruit, and bread. Sometimes the vegetables were flavored by boiling them with herbs. Meat was an expensive luxury reserved for festive occasions. In northern Palestine, fish provided a source of protein. Palestinians normally ate two meals each day at midday and in the evening. Bread was made from either wheat or barley, with barley more commonly used by poor people, and barley is extremely healthy. Olive oil was a vital ingredient for cooking. Individuals drank water, but its frequent impurity led many to use wine more commonly. So this is why the Bible doesn't command Christians to eat healthy. It's because everybody ate healthy back then, but it does command Christians to avoid drunkenness, because to avoid the impurities in water, they did drink more wine back then. Not only back then did people have a healthier diet, but they lived a healthier, more active, more physically active lifestyle. Dr. Craig Keener, author of the IVP Bible Background Commentary, he says, why doesn't the Bible talk more about exercise? He writes this, the vast majority of people had to till soil, chase livestock, or like Paul and his companions, walk long distances. Even within a town such as Corinth, most people had to walk from one place to another, say from their upper story apartment to a nice-sized house church in the Cranium, which is Corinth's wealthy suburb. People with an active physical lifestyle may not need to be exhorted to exercise. It was understood that most people procured food by the sweat of your brow. In the less physically active settings in which many of us live and work today, however, exercise is a very good idea. Here's the point. In the days of the Bible, that the Bible was written, there was no explicit command to Christians and to Jews to eat healthy and to exercise, to maintain a healthy body, because people were just very healthy back then. They ate much healthier. They were very active. Today, that's very, very different. Now, if the Bible was written today to modern Americans, I believe there would be included an explicit command for Christians to maintain a healthy body. And the first reason for that is because maintaining a healthy body today has to be something that's intentional. Back then, just the byproduct of living back then in that culture was a healthier body. Just people were healthy, not because they were intentional about it, not because they went to the gym, not because they dieted more often. They were just healthier back then just because of the culture. Today, just because of the culture we live in, we tend to be unhealthy physically. It takes intentionality to be healthy these days. Today, we live in a sedentary culture. in which people spend much time sitting with little to no regular exercise or physical activity. We sit at work. We sit in the car. We sit at home watching TV, playing with our electronic devices. We sit in church. Did you know that some of the earlier churches, they stood up for the entire church services? Imagine that. Not only that, but in our American culture today, most people have very unhealthy diets. We eat a lot of processed foods, sweets, fried foods, meats, junk foods, sodas, energy drinks, very little fruits, vegetables, and whole grains. And we eat a lot. We eat a lot. Why are you looking at me like that? Y'all are looking at me like I'm saying something that's not true. We eat a lot. And in fact, Louisiana is one of the worst in the state. We just like to eat here. We've got such good food. Don't y'all realize that? When you travel somewhere else, you're like, oh, man, we just eat so well here. And so we eat way more calories than we need in America. And so as a result, we're very unhealthy on the whole. We're very unhealthy in America, not because of unpreventable diseases, but because of unhealthy choices, poor health choices. According to the CDC, more than half of kids in America aged 12 to 15 are considered physically unfit. Dr. Bharat Kumar writes about this trend. He says, the fact that less than half of the next generation of Americans meets the minimum standards for fitness is a major cause for concern. If we are unable to stop this trend, the decades to come will see us all living in a very sick country. The CDC also reports that 17% of children and adolescents aged 2 to 19 are obese. So basically 17% of kids in America are obese. That means way overweight, beyond overweight. Now, just in my neighborhood, I mean, all the kids, they're not running and playing as much. They're playing electronics and video games, or they're riding their motorized toys. It's just a different time. More than one-third of the adults in the United States are obese. More than one-third, one of every three is obese. Two-thirds of Americans are either overweight or obese. Some studies project, such as the 2012 study by the Trust for America's Health, it projects that by 2030, one out of every two Americans will be obese, 50% of the population. A 2013 report by the CDC stated that 80% of Americans don't exercise enough, 80% of us. So while maintaining a healthy body wasn't an issue for the people in the first century, it's a big issue for us today. The second reason that I believe the Bible would include a command about maintaining a healthy body, if it was written today, to modern Americans, because it's not like this all over the world, but it is in America, is that God does want us to maintain a healthy body. God does care about your physical health. And so, because we live in such an unhealthy culture, God would say, you need to work on your health. You need to maintain a healthy body. You need to be intentional about that. Let me give you three reasons this morning. Again, my goal this morning is that you would leave with a stronger or a new conviction from within that God wants you to maintain a healthy body, that this is important to God. Okay? Three reasons to maintain a healthy body, that God would want you to maintain a healthy body. Number one is to love God with our entire being. To love God with our entire being. What's your favorite kind of pie? While we're talking about eating healthy. Apple. Somebody else. All of them. Anybody else? Favorite kind of pie? Corn? Did somebody say corn pie? Oh, pecan. Okay. Hey, it's different in different families. So. Okay. Pecan pie. My favorite is apple pie, and my wife has led me into sin. She showed me how to make it even better. She heats it up for about 10, 15 seconds, and then you put some vanilla ice cream on top. Oh, my goodness. Well, unfortunately, a lot of Christians treat their Christian life like a pie. And I've talked about this before. Some of you have heard this. But they take their life, the different arenas of their life, and they treat it like slices in a pie. And so you've got your work slice and your God slice and your health slice and your family slice and your financial slice and your leisure hobby slice. And Christians in America work very hard to keep the different slices of their life from touching and interfering and impacting one another. So it's like, yeah, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, but I try not to let, and they don't think this consciously, but I try not to let my Christian slice interfere with my health slice, my eating slice over here. But the problem with that is that's simply unbiblical. It's an unbiblical approach to life. Rather than God just being another slice in the pie of your life, God wants to be more like the filling in the pie of your life. He wants to permeate, he wants to dominate, he wants to have sovereignty and dominion over every arena of your life, including the physical aspect of your life, including your health. In fact, you see this explicitly in what we call today the Great Commandment, Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 30, Jesus says, love the Lord your God. Somebody asked Jesus, what's the great or the foremost commandment? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your what? With all your strength. In other words, God wants you to love him with your entire being, with every aspect of your life. He wants every expression, every breath, every step you take, every bite you take, every drink you take to be an expression of love for him. And that includes the physical aspect of your body. Notice he says, with all your strength, not just your mind, your soul, your emotions, your spirit, but with the physical side of your life too, with all your strength. You see this as well in 1 Corinthians 10:31, maybe even more plainly put, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do everything for God's glory. Now, to glorify God means to reflect his moral nature, his moral character in your life, his goodness, his kindness, his love, his purity, his holiness. And so Paul is writing this, and he's saying, in whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, not just eating and drinking, but glorify God, reflect his nature, his holy nature, honor him, please him in everything you do. There are other verses that make this clear. We'll look at some of these in home group this week. Here's one more. You'll probably have to skip a verse there. Romans 12:1. It says, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Present your bodies to God. Your body. God cares about your physical health. You cannot love God with your entire being if you neglect to love him with your physical health. Simply cannot. Now remember, before we move on to number two, that loving God means keeping his commandments, essentially. In other words, if you say, I love God, I love Jesus, but then you go out and you live your life neglecting his commands and ignoring his word, that's a contradiction, a contradictory life. Loving God means keeping his commands, and God hasn't merely commanded us to be holy, but also to be wise. To be wise, because there are many situations you'll run into in life the Bible doesn't specifically speak to, such as the one at hand. And so, whenever you're faced with a decision, the question is not merely as a Christian, what does the Bible say about this? Or, does the Bible say I can't do this? The question often is, what is the wise thing to do? And that goes with your eating and with your lifestyle, the physical aspect of your life. What's the wise way to maintain my health for the glory of God? And I've told you this before, some of you, it was a while back, so maybe nobody in here remembers, so it's okay. But I was talking to Lydia, my wife, about her reasons, her motivations for maintaining a healthy body. And her two primary motivations really have to do with wisdom, being wise with her health. I asked her, what's your motivation for maintaining a healthy body? She said, number one, she said that if she has a heart attack, she doesn't want it to be due to poor health choices. She has heart failure in her family, and most of us probably do. But she says if she has a heart attack, She wants it to be unpreventable, in other words. She doesn't want it to be because of a lack of wisdom, because of her living foolishly with her health. The second thing she said was, if she ever gets a serious illness, such as cancer, she wants her body to be in tip-top physical shape so that it can put up the best possible fight. Doesn't that make sense? Isn't that wise? How many people, they get seriously ill and they stay sicker longer than they need to because their body's weak and not able to fight off the illness as fast as possible. Or many people don't win the battle that they could have won if their body was in better shape when they had gotten sick. So, the first reason to maintain a healthy body that God would want you to do this is to love God with your entire being. Number two, the second reason to maintain a healthy body is to be a good steward of God's property. To be a good steward or a good manager, it's another word for manager, of God's property. Now, my mom and dad are involved with the DAV, the Disabled American Veterans, and they're very involved in that. And not too long ago, they did a garage sale fundraiser. And so they asked if they could borrow the church's trailer to haul some stuff. And I said, sure. Now, if my dad owned that trailer, well, he could do whatever he wanted to do with it. He could take the tires off and sell them. He could paint the trailer. He could put the Marinus Mobile on the side. He could cut off the top and make it into an open instead of an enclosed trailer. He could go trash it. He could give it away. He could do any number of things with that trailer. He could keep it as long as he wanted. If it was his property, he could use it or abuse it however he wanted to. But because it belongs to the church, then he's responsible to be a steward, a manager, and to use it in a way that would honor and please the church, okay? Well, the Bible says something similar about your body, that your body is actually God's property. It's not yours. You're not an owner. You're a steward or a manager. If your body belonged to you, you could use it and abuse it however you wanted to. That wouldn't be smart, but you could. But the Bible says your body belongs to God. He owns it. He bought it with the blood of Jesus. And so now when you use your body, you must use it in a way that would honor and please the owner. We see this in 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says, don't you know that your body is a sanctuary or a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? In other words, the Holy Spirit lives in you. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And just as you don't like to live in a rundown, dirty house, neither does God. He wants to live in a clean, strong, sturdy, well-built house. And then it goes on to say, you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. So your body belongs to God. Honor him with it. Now, the problem is that the immediate context of this verse has to do with sexual purity. Honoring God with your sexuality. Honoring God with your body in the area of sexual purity. But that doesn't mean that this verse should strictly apply only to that aspect of your physical life and not to the other aspects of your physical life, such as your health. In fact, author Gary Thomas, he says, the curse of today is that so many Christians equate bodily sins with sexual sins, as if those are the only kinds of bodily sins. The only possible bodily sin in their minds is related to lust. If they're not sinning sexually, they believe these verses don't apply to them. The contemporary age of the church is the only generation that has believed this. We cannot be faithful believers if we ignore our bodies. Dr. Ed Young Sr. is a pastor of Second Baptist Church in Houston. He adds this. He says, we cannot have total heart health if we focus only on the biological heart and ignore the spiritual. But true spirituality means accepting the stewardship of the physical heart God has given us as well. In other words, you can't be a strong Christian if you just focus on the physical aspect of your life. You know, some people go overboard with maintaining their health. I mean, they go overboard. That's more important to them than their spiritual life, than their relationship with God, even than other aspects of their life. He says that's not good, but it's also not good whenever you really focus on your spiritual life, your prayer life, avoiding sin, and you neglect your physical health. Number three, third reason to maintain a healthy body is to be more useful to God. To be more useful to God. Derrick Rose is one of my favorite basketball players. I always look for a reason to talk about basketball. He's one of my favorite basketball players in the NBA. His NBA career took off fast. If you don't know who Derrick Rose is, he was drafted first overall in the NBA draft in 2008. He won the Rookie of the Year in that first year. In 2011, he was named the NBA Most Valuable Player, the youngest player in NBA history to do that. And it looked like his career was just really, really, his future was bright. But then in 2012, in the first round of the playoffs, he tore his ACL. And he had to miss the entire rest of the playoffs, the entire next season. Finally, the next year in 2013, or not the next year, the year after that, he finally came back. In the very beginning of the season, he tore his right meniscus, which caused him to miss another entire season. Then he came back the next season, but he had another knee injury that caused him to miss 30 more games. Now he's playing, he's having a decent year this year, but he's nowhere near where he used to be, and he's missed so much because his health failed him. As talented as he is, his potential is limited by his physical health. Now that applies not only to professional athletes, that applies to you as a Christian in serving God. You can have all kinds of potential. You can be very holy. You can love the Lord with all your heart. You can be filled with knowledge, biblical knowledge and spiritual wisdom. But if you neglect your physical health, it will limit how much God can do through you to impact others. You've got to keep your body healthy. 2 Timothy 2:20. 2:20 through 22. It says, now in a large house there are not only gold and silver bowls, but also those of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. So if anyone purifies himself from anything dishonorable, he will be a special instrument, set apart, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Paul says there's different kind of bowls in a house. There are those of wood and clay and those of gold and silver. And all the different bowls get used. But he says those of gold and silver are reserved for special, honorable use. The point that Paul is trying to make is that we need to do everything in our power to make ourselves the most useful to God. That God is able to use all of us, even sinners, even unbelievers. God ends up using their life for his glory, for his purposes. But to be used by God for the most honorable, for the maximum use, to get the maximum use out of your time in this life, do everything you can. And one of the things you can do is give yourself a work for a healthy body. Let me show you three ways that maintaining a healthy body will make you more useful. Number one, three ways that maintaining a healthy body makes you more useful. Number one, the better you take care of yourself, the better you can care for other people. That's common sense, huh? Doesn't that make sense? The better you care for yourself, the better you can care for other people. Listen, it's very important to me that my wife take care of herself. I really want her to take care of herself. In fact, I really want to care for her. Why? Because the better shape she's in physically, emotionally, the better she's able to care for me and for my kids. It sounds very selfish, but it's true. I really need her to take care of herself. And it's the same way with you. Listen, last year I got the flu. And I hadn't had the flu in a long time. I'd forgotten what it was like to have fever. It had been so long since I'd gotten sick like that. And it put me out of commission for a couple of weeks. I wasn't able to be the husband and the father and even the pastor that I normally am. I mean, it limited me in so many ways that because my body, my physical body, was hurt. I wasn't able to serve God to the fullest that I normally am. Our ability to God is not merely dependent upon a healthy soul, but a healthy body. You need a healthy body to serve God to the fullest. Second, when you take care of yourself, you are less of a burden to others. You're less of a burden to others. If you love your family and friends, which I know you do, then you want to be a blessing and not a burden. In fact, God calls you to be a blessing to those in your life, not a burden to them. But listen, and this kind of hurts, I think. this cuts a little bit. If you fail to take care of yourself, then eventually the people in your life will be forced to care for you. Now let me say this. The people in your life, your family, your friends, your church family, we love you. We want to take care of you when you're down. We want to take care of you. We love you. However, if you neglect to take care of your health, and that's why the people in your life have to step up and care for you, then that's a sin on your part. It's a sin on your part. You are being an unnecessary burden on the people you love. And you need to hear somebody tell you that. Andy Stanley put it this way. He says, your irresponsibility eventually becomes someone else's responsibility. He goes on, he says, irresponsibility isn't an isolated thing. It eventually impacts other people. And that's just the truth of it. If you're irresponsible with your health, eventually the people that you love the most and who love you are going to be forced to take responsibility for your health. And so you're not serving God that way. In fact, you're causing an undue burden on the people that you love the most. Okay, number three, the third way that maintaining a healthy body makes you more useful is that when you take care of your health, you increase the time you have to serve God. Dr. Ed Young Sr., I mentioned him earlier, the pastor of Second Baptist Church in Houston. I want to talk about him just for a second because it's one of the largest churches in the country, 56,000 members. Can you imagine that? Now, size doesn't always mean health. There's some large Muslim mosques in the world, too. But the fact of the matter, that's not the point here. His church is huge. They have multiple campuses. They have a school. He's been the pastor for 50 years. He's 74 years old. Very active, very vibrant. Now, what's great is that after all these years, Dr. Young has more insight and wisdom after serving the Lord all these years, walking with the Lord, so much to give to the church at large right now because of all his years with God. But the only reason that he's able to give that to the church, give that to his people, is because he's been careful to maintain his health. In fact, that church, he's emphasized that his entire ministry, that church has their own health club, their own fitness club. It's always been very, very important to him. Now, is he lucky? Is he blessed? Yes, he's been blessed. There's a lot of people that work really hard to take care of themselves, but their health fails. The important thing is that your health fails, not that you fail your health. And he's been careful to maintain good health. Gary Thomas is a staff member at that church. He says, some men and women have all but let themselves be silenced by the thousands of choices they made in their 30s, 40s, and 50s about eating and exercise that caught up with them in their 60s and eclipsed the life experience they had gained. Yet here I witnessed a man in his mid-70s taking the kingdom by storm. So when you maintain a healthy body, you increase the years that you have to serve the Lord. Not only that, but you increase the time you have on this earth. My kids are blessed because they have three living grandparents, all three of them in here today. Three living grandparents who are all believers, Christians, and grandparents can be so important to helping you raise your kids, especially if they're believers. So important. And that's what I want. I want to be around for my grandkids. I want to be able to impact them for Christ and my great-grandkids. I want to serve my wife for as long as possible. I want to serve our church for as long as possible. I don't want my time to be cut short because of my poor health choices. God has a lot that he wants to do through your life. The people in your life need you. They benefit from you so much. And you can increase the amount of time that you have in their lives simply by taking care of your health. And so God wants us to maintain a healthy body, to love him with our entire being, to be a good steward of God's property, and so that we can be more useful to him. Now, let's not stop there. Just a few more minutes. Let me give you some practical ways to maintain a healthy body. Number one, suck in that gut. Suck in that gut. In other words, get your weight under control. Now, this is stuff that everybody in this room has heard, but let me just emphasize it for you as we're thinking about this. Get your weight under control. According to the CDC, being overweight or obese puts you at risk for many health problems. The more body fat that you have and the more you weigh, the more likely you are to develop coronary heart disease, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, gallstones, breathing problems, certain cancers. If you want to maintain a healthy body, you've got to keep your weight under control. Now, you don't want to be underweight either, but most of us don't have that problem, okay? You want to be a good weight, and the way to determine that is with your body mass index, your BMI. You can go to, there's so many websites online, you can figure out how to measure your body mass index and make sure that you're in the right range. But this is calculated from your height and weight. Another way to determine if you have a healthy weight is to measure your waist circumference. Do I have a volunteer? I'm just kidding. You measure your waist circumference. The CDC says that you have a higher risk of developing obesity-related conditions if you are a man whose waist circumference is more than 40 inches and if you are a non-pregnant woman whose waist circumference is more than 35 inches. So you can go to cdc.gov. It'll tell you exactly how to measure your waist circumference. Number two, after you suck in that gut, put down the boudin. Put down the boudin. That means create a healthy eating plan. Now, a bad diet is the primary cause for being overweight, for overweight and obesity. To maintain a healthy weight, you got to keep your calories down. Why do people gain weight? Because they take in more calories than they burn off. And so, if you are overweight, you've got to decrease your calorie intake. Eat less. It's portion control. Dr. Don Colbert says this. He says that you need to eat living foods instead of dead foods. Being healthy is not just about keeping your weight under control. It's also about eating the right foods, eating healthy foods, eating living foods as opposed to dead foods. He says, everything you put in your mouth has the potential to produce life or death. Food is a part of man's reward, but eating the wrong foods will bring curses of poor health. Dr. Don Colbert is a Christian medical doctor. He's written tons. You can find him online. Tons about just Christians maintaining good health. What are living foods and dead foods? Living foods are the kind that you don't like. Fruits, vegetables, whole grains. You need more of that. Most of that. Dead foods are living foods that have been altered, making them last as long as possible at room temperature and to be as addictive as possible to the consumer. That usually means the manufacturer adds considerable amounts of sugar, which is called dextrose, corn syrup, fructose, glucose, and generally any other food ending in ose. It also means they add man-made fats that involve taking various oils and heating them to dangerously high temperatures so that the nutrients die and become reborn as something completely different, a deadly, sludgy substance that is toxic to our bodies. That sludgy substance, which is called hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated oil. So avoid processed foods. Dr. Colbert also recommends keeping your meat intake to a minimum. He writes that God originally created human beings to be vegetarians, and that while eating meat isn't a sin, God declared that all foods are good to eat in the New Testament, Book of Acts, and the epistles, all foods are good to eat. But science has proven that vegetarians do live longer and have lower incidences of disease and cancer. Meat is just tougher for your body to digest, to break down, for one thing. So the thing to remember is that it's okay to enjoy those good foods that you like, but you've got to enjoy them much less frequently, probably. Now, Lydia and I, what we do is we eat a very healthy, lean diet all week long, but then we have date night on Friday night. And all bets are off. Friday night is our night. And that really makes it even more fun. And we can eat whatever we want guilt-free. Number three, put down the boudin, then get off the couch. Get off the couch. Get regular exercise. Now, exercise does help you with your weight, but that's really not the only reason to exercise. In fact, listen, if you want to keep your weight down, it's about diet. And 90% of it is about diet. I wish you could say that you could just eat whatever you want as long as you exercise enough. Not going to happen for most of us. You got to change the way you eat. But exercise is about keeping your body healthy and strong. The CDC says that regular physical activity helps improve your overall health and fitness and reduces your risk for many chronic diseases. Dr. Colbert writes an exhaustive list about what exercise does for you. He says exercise prevents cancer, heart attacks, and heart disease. It lowers stress, promotes weight loss, decreases appetite. It may help prevent diabetes and help control blood sugar in diabetics. It increases perspiration, sweating, releasing toxins from the body. It slows down the aging process, builds strong bones, improves your digestion, and promotes frequent bowel movements. Gives you restful sleep, helps prevent colds and flu, reduces depression, improves memory retention and reaction time, slows Alzheimer's disease, and may help prevent Parkinson's disease, increases lung capacity, alleviates pain, and increases your energy level. So why aren't we exercising more? Because it's not fun. It's not fun. How much exercise do you need? Well, let me look at you. Just kidding. Sorry about that. Dr. Colbert recommends aerobic exercise 4 times a week for 30 minutes and weightlifting 3 times a week. You have to find out what's right for you, and you have to start with what's manageable for you. Start with something. I know Lydia and I, we exercise just 4 days a week for about 25 minutes. And we do that together, which we work out at home, so it decreases drive time. We don't have to be apart. Number 4, last thing, and we'll finish. I'll stop picking on you. Stop acting like a chimney. Stop acting like a chimney. Avoid smoking and tobacco. We can't talk about maintaining a healthy body without talking about smoking and tobacco use. And I don't need to say much. There's so much in the media right now. There's a big government war on tobacco right now. So you hear it all the time. The CDC reports that cigarette smoking is the leading preventable cause of disease, disability, and death in the United States. Leading cause. Damage from tobacco smoke is immediate. Tobacco smoke contains more than 7,000 chemicals and chemical compounds that reach your lungs every time you inhale. On average, compared to people who have never smoked, smokers suffer for years with more health problems due to their smoking and ultimately die earlier by a decade or more than non-smokers. That's 10 less years with your grandkids and kids. Nearly 500,000 Americans die prematurely from tobacco use each year. Another 16 million Americans suffer from at least one serious disease caused by smoking. 1 out of 3 cancer deaths is caused by smoking. So this is the reason why the CDC is investing in this is because this is a big problem in our society and for the government. So much government funding and spending goes to preventable diseases and illnesses caused by smoking. And then the smokeless tobacco, like dip, is extremely unhealthy. It causes cancer of the mouth, esophagus, pancreas. It's associated with mouth diseases. It can cause gum disease, tooth decay, and tooth loss. And it decreases kissing. I added that one. It increases the risk for death from heart disease and stroke. So four essentials. Suck in the gut, put down the boudin, get off the couch, stop acting like a chimney, and you'll be okay. Now, I know this is a sensitive issue, and I know it takes a while. It's hard work. It takes a while to even see some progress. But I just want to encourage you. My goal here is just to say, just to give God a voice on this issue and say, God loves you. You're very important to God. Your life matters. And therefore, your health matters. And we can't take care of your health for you. We love you, and we want you to take care of yourself so that you can continue to minister to our church and to your family. And God really cares about this. So this year, I encourage you, make some changes. Make some changes. Let this be the first year that you begin to turn over a new leaf in the area of your physical health. I invite you to join us for home group this week. We're going to be talking about this, really picking on each other even more personally. So come and be a part of it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the time that we've had together. Lord, we thank you for such a wonderful, wonderful church family that allows me to get up here and talk about sensitive, important issues. This church just wants to hear from you, God. Whether it's offensive or not, we just want to hear your word because we love you and we want to glorify you with every arena of our lives. But Lord, we can't change. None of us can change with our own strength. We need your help. We ask you, Lord, to help us to be a healthy, physically healthy church, to glorify you with our physical health. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to be gracious to one another as we're on this journey and we're all at a different stage. But Lord, help us to make those changes, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.